So when I came in right now, you were talking about, women geeks or, you know, women who are involved in open source and free software.
Yep, as good a topic as any.
Well, I guess I should probably contribute. I was actually introduced to Linux by my girlfriend back in 1997.
And now you're a sysadmin of a dedicated hosting company, so I guess it worked out.
Yeah, I guess it worked out, yeah.
What happened to her?
She got into GIS stuff. She was really, I mean, she's one of the few female geeks that talked about computers more than I did, I guess, is all I can say. We were both in the same computer science class together, and then she found out about Linux, and she was like, hey, we should check out this Linux thing, and so on. And it was in her dorm room that I first saw a Linux console for the first time, and we started up Pine. And
that's the most romantic story ever, Delta Ray. You're making me cry. Stop it.
It really is. Peter64 is in the chat room. He's asking if she's got a brother.
You're funny, man.
No, I think she was an only child. And as I always say, my wife actually was a computer science major, and she can program in assembly language, and I can't. And I always say that she uses Emacs, and I use VI, and we both sleep in the same bed, unless she's swapping.
Oh, that is wow. So bad.
Do not let her hear you said that.
No, she's pretty cool about it.
That could be the funniest thing that's been said in the past.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
That was good.
I use both. I go both ways.
Damn you. I just came back for the punchline there. I didn't quite catch the setup, so I'm going to have to listen to the audio cast of the setup.
Yes, another listener.
No, to my wife's credit, she's like the best geek's wife ever. It was just a few days ago she was actually saying, hey, would you like to go to a Star Trek convention?
I was like, nice. What?
You know, that's one step away from, see that dude dressed as a Klingon? He's hot.
No. It's, see that dude dressed as a Klingon? He's hotter than you.
Aw.
Yeah, sadly the clothes don't make the man.
He's got such a nice head prosthetic.
What's the average size of a Klingon's cock?
Go ahead, I'll bite. What is it?
I don't know. I'm just
Our Titan is going to be at this for a little while, eh?
Yeah.
It sounds like I joined just at the right time, but...
Yeah, well, I'd say you're a few minutes too late, Peter, because we were expecting you to drag it down.
Oh, I tell you, I was just getting up to go to work when you blokes were kicking off this morning. So I would have loved to have popped on then, but unfortunately I had to go and mow some grass at bloody 4 o'clock this morning.
Right on. How's the new year treating you? You're 2012. Some of us are still in 2011.
Yeah. Well, I sat up until 1 minute past 12 with my wife just to see the new year in. And I think that's about as long as I lasted. As soon as the clock ticked over 12, I think I started snoring. According to my wife, that's what happened.
I need to ask you, Peter, is there a betting pool for when the first RC helicopter crash of 2012 is going to be?
I can tell you, it happened about 20 minutes after I got home. So there you go. I started off the new year exactly the same as the old one finished, with a RC heli crash. Actually, I had a friend up here yesterday, who can actually fly the bloody things, and I never knew, and he never knew I flew them.
You know, I remember there's a game in the PS1 called, was it RC Copter or something, that used the dual shock pads? Oh my fucking god, that was a nightmare to fly, the controls for that thing. I honestly don't know, I mean, apparently that's realistic for remote control helicopters.
They're a lot like that.
I really do not know how the hell people manage to control these things. They're an absolute nightmare. They buckle the brain with the two thumb pads. It's like, no, absolutely no. How do you do it?
Only any trouble if you use, and I forget, there's mode 1 and mode 2, and it's only ever trouble if you use the mode that Peter uses.
Yeah, I use mode 1. The fact of the thing is, it's all got to do with orientation. And this is no word of a lie. not so much my neighbor, but the bloke who lives across the valley. His brother-in-law is a helicopter pilot, and he cannot fly radio-controlled helicopters. And because what you have to appreciate is when you've got the nose facing away from you, as soon as you turn that nose in to face towards you, three of your four controls have now reversed. So it's just a mind boggle. Once you flip the helicopter over, two have now gone back to the original way and two are the exact opposite again. And it is honestly one of the hardest things I've ever tried to do in my life.
How many of them, Peter, have you destroyed beyond repair?
I'd actually hate to work out the money I've spent on them, but I am getting better. I've done quite a few loops and flips with them, but it's at the stage now where it's all psychological. I can probably fly a hell of a lot better than I think I can. It's just the thought of all that money that, and you're trying to channel all that concentration into the two ends of your thumbs and thinking about how much it's going to cost when you plow it into the dirt. And that's the thing I've got to get out of my head. But it is honestly the best way to spend your day.
So the angle to that is you just go really high, and that way when you flip it round on its arse, it doesn't really make any difference because you've got time to recover before it hits the ground.
Not at all.
Well, yeah, you think like that you get it up and altitude's your friend. But what you typically find doing is you keep them at eye level. That way you can watch the rotor disc as it slightly turns to one side, you can bring it back the other way. Once you get it up high, by the time you've noticed that the thing started to drift sideways and bank, it's all too late. Next minute, it's plowing towards the ground, 100 miles an hour. But
yeah, Peter mentioned like somebody flying a real helicopter, yeah.
The simulator is the way to do it. It's definitely the cheapest.
Yeah, yeah. He mentioned a guy flying a real helicopter not being able to fly the RC. And if you think about driving a car and how well you can drive an RC car, that's only two axes, and a helicopter has six.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's all, at least when you're sitting in a helicopter, it always remains the same. You want to go forward, you push your collective pitch, you know, forward and pull it back and up, down. That always remains exactly the same. You start flying RC helicopters, it all starts to, reverse and stuff like that. So it's just confusing.
Yeah, it's fun, Spill. I've messed around with some of the tiny ones that, you know, if I broke them, I was out $30. Peter likes to make sure that if he breaks them, he's out $600.
Yeah, well, yeah, good set of graphite blades can get it very expensive. But mind you, if that's all you break, you're quite happy.
No, I meant destroy the whole machine.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. I fortunate enough that I have a pretty forgiving wife who sort of encourages me with it because she knows it keeps me out of trouble.
Yeah, I'll say.
But it, because obviously you've been talking about Linux, but I was trying to think of a good Linux simulator. There's HeliX that runs under Linux, and anyone who ever wanted to try it, they can get on eBay, they can buy themselves a USB controller that'll plug in, and you can download HeliX, runs under Linux. You do have to pay for it. The demo's all right, except it interrupts you with some ads or something, or just pauses and tells you, you know, you can go and buy it from wherever. But even the simulator's great fun. You haven't played with a simulator, have you, with a proper transmitter?
No, I actually haven't, and I wanted to ask you about that. You said you can go on eBay and buy a controller. Can you just use, like, a PS3 controller or an Xbox controller? Can't you do that now with, like, Bluetooth or something?
Yeah, you can, but if you want to get, like, more realistic with it and actually learn, the best idea is to go and spend, and they're so cheap. I think I bought mine for under $10. A lot of the controllers, you can actually get cables, but for stuffing around and simplicity's sake, you might as well get on eBay and for less than $10, buy one that you know is going to work in Linux. Plug it in, and it's like a bloody six-axis joystick. You configure it, and off you go. And one thing about flying on the simulator, it's pretty realistic. Obviously, though, when you crash, it's not going to cost you any money, so there's no psychological disadvantage. You know what I mean? You're not thinking, oh, God, don't crash. This is going to cost me hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
But it's still a good indication of how hard they can be to fly.
That's exactly what I like about the little $30 ones that I was flying. The only trouble is with the ones I had, they were only three axis, not even four, let alone six, like you're flying. And if anybody doesn't know, the axes that are involved, a three-axis helicopter lets you move up and down. It is the one. Fore and aft is two. Rotationally is third. So that's how those work. A four-axis also lets you hover side to side. And a six-axis really does all those things. It doesn't really add an axis, but it adds a control and that you change the pitch of the blade. And that's how the helicopters fly upside down, is when they go inverted, the pitch of the blade inverts. So it's blowing air. What would be up, but it's upside down. So it holds it up in the air. So that's a six-axis control.
Yeah, it's after playing, I think it was RC Copter on the PlayStation, where you, okay, it's remote control because of the scale and stuff, but it's effectively a helicopter. It's after playing that and realizing just how hard that thing is to actually fly that you start to get a whole new appreciation when you see war movies like Apocalypse Now, and you see the helicopter pilots doing all sorts of bizarre things and sort of popping up behind the, behind hills and targeting different things. You're like, by God, these guys are good. You know, these guys are really good.
They are good, and I won't try to minimize what helicopter pilots do, but I've talked with helicopter pilots before who say that what they do is easy compared to flying an RC helicopter. You can't wrap your mind around it.
Well, don't they just like jack into the back of their head and learn how to fly a helicopter?
That's the way I understood it, yeah.
I think if I could go back and change anything about my whole life, the only thing I would ever change is that I think I would study to be an actual helicopter pilot.
What about that accent?
Get on there, Red. Oh, pay that. That was pretty bloody funny. Yeah. But no, honestly, I think it would be my one regret in life is that I'd never got the opportunity to actually go out and learn how to fly a proper one.
Hey, since I mentioned the Matrix, I thought I'd bring up something that I noticed the other day, or there was a YouTube video for it. It turns out that somebody a few years ago found out that in the movie The Matrix, not to bring conspiracy theories into the thing, but I thought it was kind of interesting. In the movie, the original Matrix, when they're interrogating Thomas Anderson, a.k.a. Neo, in the room, they open up his passport. And it turns out the expiry date on his passport was September 11th, 2001.
I'm sold.
You know, I've never spotted that. The amount of times I've seen that, it's a fantastic series. I've never spotted that. I'll need to have a look at it.
Maybe it's something that, you know, until they released the Blu-ray and higher def copies that somebody couldn't slow it down and take a freeze frame of it or something.
No, because even on DVD, you could freeze frame that movie and see the cables that were connecting their waists and feet to the helicopter rigs.
Are you serious?
The thing is, I mean, that must have been, if that's true, that must have been added at the Blu-ray stage or the DVD stage, probably the Blu-ray stage, because, I mean, what The Matrix was, what, 1999? There's no way that they're going to add a date in for 2011. Either that or it's complete coincidence for 2 years in the future.
Yeah, but it's not the only coincidence. There's actually two or three other movies that had, and TV shows that had coincidences with 9/11. One of them was just four weeks, I think, before 9/11. There was a Simpsons episode where Bart holds up a magazine cover that has $9, and then the Twin Towers are right next to it, so it kind of spells out 9/11. And then a year before that, there was the Lone Gunman episode that was a spinoff of The X-Files, and they had an episode that pretty much described what happened on 9/11. So there's quite a few coincidences. I think all it speaks to is that there was somebody in Hollywood that had, you know, some kind of connection with it, and they maybe were planting evidence or clues to it.
I can dispel the 9/11 thing because 9/11 being the emergency, I can see that coming up a whole lot. But to nail the year as well is
yeah.
I'll stop there.
Yeah, we should probably stop this topic right here. I just thought I'd mention that because I found out about it like 2 days ago.
Well, shit, they're knocking on my door now.
Delta Ray, well, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're actually writing some fictional thing and you want a date in the future, you can pick any date you want. If that date, when it comes to pass, if it happens to fall on some significant date, then you can look back on it and say, ooh, there's some correction, but there's just really not.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand that if you were, you know, if there was a coincidental date in some movie, like a romantic comedy movie or something like that. But the thing is that in that scene, and you all know the subject matter of The Matrix, in that scene, they're accusing Neo of collaborating with terrorists. So, you know, it's a huge coincidence. It's not just a minor one.
Well, it's as coincidence as you want to make out of it, frankly, but it is a coincidence. There's no denying it.
I don't mean to break up the conspiracy theories because I love them, but Delta Ray, I wanted to ask you before, because we're kind of literally running out of time at this point. Like, we're approaching the new year, so...
You mean we can't make this go as long as we want?
We can. I'm recording. I'll be here.
Yeah, there is the, you know, I mean, this is only the new year in the East Coast right now, so, yeah, we could keep going. But, yeah,
Yeah, we're not special.
Next year in 2012, there's going to be an Indiana Linux Fest, and I know that last year you were on the board, I think, of Indiana Linux Fest, so I'm wondering if there's any exciting news about the next Indiana Linux Fest upcoming.
Yeah, we're going to do this one inside a fridge in a nuclear zone. Oh, hang on, that's the wrong Indiana. My bad.
Well, all I know at this point is that it's from April 13th through the 15th, so it's like a few weeks later than it was last year. I'm not actually on the board this year because I just, you know, I don't know. It's a major time consumer, so I had to sit out for this year and just say, you know, I have to work on other stuff that I had to neglect last year. But it's supposed to happen in April, and they're trying to make it even bigger.
Yeah, I can imagine planning that kind of event has got to be just huge.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of respect for the people who do those kind of things.
Yeah.
Dude, as soon as the date's fixed, let us know. Unseenstudio.co.uk. So cell promo here. We've got a wee list of events that we've got coming up, so we will happily add yours to it. So if the date's fixed, let us know.
What was that address again?
unseenstudio.co.uk, I believe. Yeah, unseenstudio.co.uk.
Yeah, I was busy typing that there when you were saying that, Clotty. Yeah, and there's a contact thing in there. Let us know with your description and stuff, and we'll add it to there. If you've got an audio promo, let us know as well, and we'll pump that out on Crivens for you.
What is unseenstudio.co.uk? What is this?
We've got a podcast. We've got a couple of podcasts actually. We've got Talks Jam, which is a Creative Commons show, and then Crivens, which is a Scottish free software show. So we've got that podcast as well.
Wow, I've never heard of either of these. That's really cool. Thank you.
Talks Jam's good. I listen to it.
Yeah, that's Kevy's actually a quite decent taste in music. Actually, maybe I'm just showing my age. I don't know, but. Yeah, he's a cool dude. So if you've got audio promos and stuff, we'll pump them on that as well. We'll shove them onto the Unseen Studio. We've got the reason that I mentioned it is we got one from SoCal, is it South Southern California Linux Fest, something like that. So they got in touch with their details just the other day. So that was just what reminded me there. As soon as Clotu said, oh, you're part of such and such Linux Fest, and I'm like, oh, right, okay. Let us know, we'll pimp that as well.
Hey, sorry, go ahead, I can wait.
I was just looking at this Unseen Studio website, and I was going to say, I really got a kick out of the episode 4, the way you word it, so that it sounds like a Scottish accent.
Yeah, the whole Crivens thing, that's the gimmick, is basically there's a cartoon or a comic book, comic strip in Scotland, which is Ur Wally and the Bruins, which is all like that. So that's why we wanted it to be the first section on that was going to be pure Scottish, and you have no idea. I type in English. It's so difficult for me to type in Scottish that I have to actually train my fingers to intentionally mistype to type in Scottish. Honestly, it's so difficult. But yeah, that's how we do it.
It's a really nice looking website too. What is it based on? It's really pretty.
Yeah, it's Drupal. I'm a big Drupal guy.
That's hot stuff, dude.
Yeah, as I say, the events, we want to promote anyone that's got any news show or news sites. I don't know, I like TechDot. I love TechDot. Or Ars Technica, /dot, that type of thing. Any kind of news sites, any podcasts, anything they like listening to that's of general sort of interest, let us know, we can include it. A sort of self-promotional gig here. Maybe I shouldn't really be doing this when I'm drunk, but never mind. We've got to this stage and we may as well roll with it. But yeah, maybe not drink some more, sleep some more possibly, but promoting the shows. One of the ideas was, I thought about the idea of people visiting an area in a certain time, and they may not know that there's a community, an event going on at that time, a log or something that meets when they're in that area. But that's kind of there. So, yeah, I'm rambling now.
That's all right, yeah. But if we're pimping stuff, you remind me of something I really wanted to take an opportunity to pimp tonight, and I missed it. Were you done? Did you want to say anything else before I change topics so crudely?
Oh no, dude. I'm at the point where I'm just about ready to sign off. So you go ahead.
All right. Well, okay. Cool. Thank you. When you mentioned music, it reminded me, and we mentioned this earlier just briefly, but I want to go back into it. Was cchits.com. That is a website whose plan, the way that it's designed and organized, their project is, from my point of view, it nearly perfect in design, and the only flaw in the whole thing is that it requires people to participate for it to work, and it doesn't seem like people are participating. And I say that as a flaw, kind of tongue in cheek. But if people would subscribe to CC Hits daily feed, and not just subscribe, but to actually vote on the Creative Commons music that you like, actually could have a working top 40 type Creative Commons website.
And it's cchits.com, you said?
No, I'm sorry. It's probably cchits.org. I would try that first, but I can look it up in just a second.
Looks like cchits.net.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kevy does the music for Crivens, and he's done stuff, and some of the links he's done has been cchits.net, I think.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking at it now, actually. Yeah, this does look really cool.
And I guess the way that it's designed, and I've had a couple of beers now too, so please don't take my half sober ramblings as gospel here. But the way that it's supposed to work is that you listen to the song on their stream and vote for it, and your vote weighs fairly heavily upon it. And if that song is mentioned on another podcast before you vote, then your vote weighs slightly less, is to the best of my understanding, or to the best of my recollection, really. When I heard it explained, it made a whole lot of sense. The guy explained it to Ken on an HBR episode, actually. We really could have a functioning top 40 machine if people would participate. And I honestly believe that in the sense of music discovery, because that's what people basically complain about, is how do you discover good music, because there's so much crap. But I honestly believe that if people participated in this, that the monthly show that did the top of the charts there could compete with a commercial top 40 chart, because it's still music and it's a hell of a lot better than the crap that they feed us.
So on a slightly side note before I get back to the main topic, there was a Douglas Adams skit, the guy who did Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, about the things make, you need to be in the same state of inebriation to understand. You plaster, you have to be that way. I lost what I was going to say. There was two points I was going to go back to, but I can't remember the other one, so carry on.
Yeah, I've said what I had to say about CC Hitch. Just I'm you know, begging people to participate in that as much as I'm begging people to participate in Hacker Public Radio. Is everybody checking it out, or is everybody run out of stuff to say 30 minutes early?
I think a bit of both.
I got my guitar ready. If we run out of stuff to talk about.
No, I was, I don't know, I was wondering. No, I don't know. I kind of had my train of thought there, and then I sort of lost it, and then I picked it up again, and then I lost it again. So I think that's maybe a good time for me to bow out of this evening's entertainment. So I think I'll leave you gentlemen and ladies, if there are any present, with a happy new year. And it's good to talk to you. It's good to put names to faces that I talked to in IRC. And I'll probably talk to you another time.
See you later, Thistleweb. Thanks for being the affable brunt of a lot of our jokes. You were awesome tonight. Thanks for coming on, and Happy New Year.
See you, Thistle.
Good night, sir.
Hey, Happy New Year, dude.
Yeah, I'm happy to be there. I dish it out. I can take it. It's cool. That's cool. So have a good evening, peoples, and see you another time.
Pokey, I'm not clear. How do you listen to the songs? Like, is there a feed or something, or do you have to go to the site to just listen? I'm not getting.
Yep. There's several feeds. So if you look at their website, and it says CC Hits down the right hand side. It says CC Hits About and then Listen. And the very first link in that paragraph says Exposure Show. That's the daily show, and a song comes out every single day. And it's really weird. If they had a bug report, I'd file a bug report, because their daily show is like 11 minutes long, even though a song's only 4 minutes. This is just, I think, in my opinion, there's too much surrounding it, and that might be a turnoff for some people. But if you hit that link to the Exposure Show, you can go to a page where there's voting for each particular song. And there's only one song per show and one show per day. And I'm pretty sure this is a 7-day-a-week show. They have as I understand it, they have a vast repository of Creative Commons music. And I think it's just selected randomly as to what hits the feed each day.
Okay, I'm intrigued. I'm going to check it out.
Yes, one more subscriber. Yeah.
What's the best for this, Pokey? You probably covered this a million times today, but you'll release this over a couple of episodes of HBR or something. Was that the idea, or?
Ideally, because you'd have to be a lunatic to sit through a 12-hour show.
Hey, it takes me that long to mow the bloody fairway, so it'd just be a day for me.
If you want it all at once, Peter, I'll put it up somewhere for you.
Yeah, no worries.
If you got any friends who listen to Linux podcasts 12 hours straight, we'll make a feed just for them too.
I'm surprised how many people actually say to me the longer the better. But I'm actually a longer the better person. You know, I quite enjoy putting on one and just letting it go. That's the sad thing about Linux Link Tech Show. I think they're too short these days. Clatu, you're going to do all the editing or what?
No, I'm happy to say that I have not been asked or made to agree to do any editing for this yet.
Katya, would you like to edit this show? I didn't know it was just a case of just asking.
No.
Balls.
That's pretty blunt.
Yeah, no, Peter, I guess basically the idea was that I was going to cut it up into smaller shows and feed them out. And I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to decide where the breaks go, because, you know, we could put it at some arbitrary time limit, like an hour, and then have 12 shows, but we break the topic in half. And I don't know if that's necessarily the way that we want to do it, but we'll figure something out. I'm pretty sure they're all going to hit the feed. I don't think there's a whole lot we're going to throw out, except for when we had some server issues. We had about an hour of the server coming up and then going down for a little bit. But no, it's been, I mean, I've been sitting here for 11 and a half hours now, and it's been 11 and a half of the most fun hours I've had this year. So yeah. Heck yeah, it's going to.
Yeah, it doesn't seem, I mean, I really, when you told me about it initially, I thought, wow, 12 hours is very long time. And
you didn't think very long time. You thought stupid.
Okay, stupid. Stupid long time. But no, it's passed pretty darn quickly, I'd say. The first, the first 10 hours just went by like nothing. It's pretty amazing.
When you look at, I mean, we've had some pretty marathon kernel panics, Clatu, You know, and when you think we get on there and we think, oh, we got no stories in that, and then 4 hours later,
yeah.
we all think, oh, we better go, you know, or the day's
yep.
going to be over. It's amazing when you get a bunch of geeks together, what you can come up with to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Not to mention, Peter, and this is going to kill you that you missed it, we had Cornominal on here, the guy who does Crunch Bang.
Oh, fair and eat him. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Yeah, well, that's something. I mean, I can't wait till you get this all posted. And, like, I'm not joking. I could quite easily take the whole thing and listen to it over 2 days while I'm mowing. I wouldn't have a problem doing that.
Yeah, it's been wicked fun. It's been so cool. And you know, I've said this before, but since, you know, you're coming to new here and it doesn't really matter if we repeat stuff, you know, when the idea first came up, you know, Ken Fallon said, hey, we need to do an end of year review or some such thing. And, you know, and I said, well, he said, Pokey, why don't you do it? I said, well, that's fine. But what I'm going to need is a lot of people. I said, so I'll just open up a Mumble server for 12 hours and whoever shows up is what will show up. And that'll be edited down into some show, because the hardest part about getting people together is that nobody's in the same time zone. So I figured if I opened it up to 12 hours, we'd get people from all over the place. And in 12 hours, we'd be able to fill an hour or an hour and a half long show. It didn't occur to me at the time to stream it live. And it didn't occur to me at the time that we'd have, you know, a million people who were willing to get in on it and help out. But the more, like, really the closer to the date that it got, the more people jumped up and were like, hey, man, I want to help out. I want to mirror your server. I want to be part of it. How can I help out? And the community has pulled together in such a way that if I had one more beer in me, I'd be tearing up about it right now. It's really, really been spectacular.
Colonel Panic never has that kind of help.
You're not wrong. There's my phone. I'll be back.
Yeah, but never heard Colonel Panic ask either. And that's all I did. People keep saying, hey, Pokey, good job pulling this together. Great job pulling this together. I didn't pull anything together. I just asked. I asked the chat room, the RSC, and I asked the mailing list. And I asked a couple of people, and it spread from there. I really didn't do anything except to say that I'll sit here and do the recording and man the thing. It's everyone who's been here that did it. I didn't do anything.
The point is, though, puzzle that add up to all. I didn't put forth very much either. Nor, you know, but if it wasn't for your putting the question out there, it wouldn't have happened.
That happens a lot to me. I can't deny that.
Well, doesn't that kind of go back to what we were saying to Lost in Bronx? You know, I mean, part of it really is just kind of asking. You know, I mean, don't just say, gee, I wish I could get help on this project, or I wish I could get paid for this artwork, or whatever the case might be. You kind of have to let people know that you need something, you know, so that if there is someone out there that can help, they'll know about it and they can help you or set something up for you or whatever.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's the same thing as I said earlier, that accepting the help was the hard part. And not because I have a hard time accepting help, it was, what do I do with people who are offering me their skills and how do I use their skills? And that might be directly analogous to what you're saying about Lost in Bronx, that all he really has to do is put a donation button there, you know, a buy me a beer button or something. There has to be a means of accepting the help from the people who want to help you. Our means of accepting the help today happened to be in, come on the stream, donate some time to the show, participate in the chat room and mirror the stream. I mean, that's how we accepted it. But, you know, for Lost in Bronx or for anybody else who's doing that kind of work, it could just be a donate button. It could just be a financial thing. Who really knows, you know?
Well, this kind of event just blows my mind too, because it just, I mean, there's a community out there and you had this idea to do a 12-hour show one way or another, whether you knew you were saying that you were going to do a 12-hour show or not. But, you know, you had this idea and just all the technology is there and all the people who know what they know about that technology come together and it just happens. And that, to me, it's really, really unique. You know, you don't necessarily see that in all other kind of groups and organizations. You don't necessarily see people just coming together and doing whatever is necessary to make something happen. It does happen sometimes, but it doesn't always happen. And it's really cool that this is that kind of community, that kind of group, that everyone is business oriented enough and no nonsense enough that, yes, we are going to make this happen. Now let's get it done. And it happens. It's really neat.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to tell me. I know that it doesn't happen elsewhere. I'm not going to lie to you. There were several points at this week where I was in a nervous, panicky sweat because I had no idea if it was going to work and if I had promised something that I couldn't deliver on. And there were people there to say to me, calm down, it'll come together. You didn't promise to deliver. You invited the community to do it. You know, Dan Washko talked me off the cliff twice. Pipe Man Music talked me down from it once. You talked me down from it once, I think, and you glad to. And yeah, I mean, I was in a panic. Can I do this? Can I do this? And I just had to step back when these guys said to me, no, you can't, but it's a community thing. It's cool. And it absolutely was. And this has been so cool. I mean, 12 hours of continuous talk. We barely rehashed a subject that, and I think when we did, it was worth rehashing. And I mean, this is damn near a Linux fest, you know, and it came to fruition in a few weeks. It's really cool.
We still have 20 minutes. This could all go to shit. Don't count your chickens for the hatch.
Don't jinx it now.
Why stop at 12 hours if everybody's still here? Keep on recording, man.
Yeah. I've said that a couple times. I wasn't actually looking at the clock. I was looking at my last beer.
I didn't get to play any songs.
Why don't you play us a song now, then, while we have a chance?
What do you want to hear?
Why don't you post that link, and we'll vamp for a few minutes while people look over the link, and we'll take a request. You had a link, a list of songs that you were ready to go with, right?
Yeah, let me grab the link.
All right. Hey, Peter, what were you just about to say while he's doing that?
I was just going to ask, have you worked out how many countries or continents you've had people join in tonight from?
I would say three. We've definitely got Australia, Europe, and the United States, and we've got Great Britain too. I know a lot of the Europeans don't consider them Europe, so I'm going to say four.
Well, that's pretty good, isn't it?
And no coffee.
Oh, that's not true. I started out with a whole pot of French
fries. Yeah. There's been coffee consumption going on.
Yeah,
look at these
guys. Oh, sorry, Peter.
I was just digging. He's disappointed because he was, frankly, he was expecting a train wreck, he's saying. But he's saying how remarkably solid the whole 12 hours has been.
Make sure
we couldn't have done it without Digsit sitting there encouraging us for 12 hours. I don't know what kept him on.
Make sure you tell Digsit how much
his
we
podcast,
love him.
You know, he's a funny bud. He's always there in the background cracking everyone up.
Yeah, well, I got to be honest. We're not going to lie about it. We didn't have 12 hours of continuous chat. We did have that probably hour where all we got was about 20 minutes of talk out of it, where the server was we probably just filled its buffer or something.
I was theorizing his drive just got full. It was like his boot drive just got full or something.
Yeah, I thought we were either his RAM was full and we were going into swap, or like slash Etsy was full. I was kind of panicking for a little bit.
It all worked out. You gave me a phone call and I came in.
Yeah, no, it's worked out amazingly well. I'm astonished at how many people we got on here all at once. I mean, when it was full, we had, what, maybe 20 people in the main room and probably 5 or 8 people out in the testing room, and it was really solid. What kind of connection are you paying for?
At my server?
Yeah. I mean, it's at your house, isn't it?
No. Cheapest web host I can get.
Oh, for real? Oh, yeah. I thought you were sitting in front of the Mumble server.
No, it's offsite. It's a shared host.
So what kind of bandwidth are you paying for? Do you know?
Monthly bandwidth.
Yeah.
600 gigabyte.
Or at a moment, like kilobits per second. Is there a cap on that, or they just give you what you need?
No, it's whatever the boxes can handle. You know.
So you may get an email tomorrow.
No, there's no limit on it. I mean, they can throttle me.
Well, as Deep Geek says, you know, unlimited just means they're not going to tell you what the limit is.
You know, I've used WebFaction for quite a few different pretty high volume sites, and my friend uses them all the time. And
your friend Bob?
Never had an issue. What's that?
Is this your friend Bob? Your friend Bob?
I don't know who Bob is.
That was Ken's friend,
Bob. Oh, that was Ken. I'm sorry.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I apologize.
Ken has a friend named Bob.
Who, yeah, Bob, just well, forget
good
it.
For him. We, is this an acronym?
A, no, Bob's a, does illegal shit, man. We just can't talk about who he really is.
Oh, I got exactly. Because I know some ladies refer to Bob as their battery-operated boyfriend.
No, I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think that's what you meant. I think it was more of akin to your pal who masturbates a lot.
Digs that maybe getting his wish.
Yeah.
Oh, Delwyn, did you just show up? You haven't been here the whole time, right?
Yeah, he's been here quite a while.
Yeah, I've been on and off all night long. Well, actually, all afternoon long. I've probably been listening about 6 hours of this.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of the testing as well, along with Kevin W. I mean, not necessarily along with, but he as well has been doing that.
Oh, right on, Delwyn. Thank you.
I'm not going to steal his thunder. I've only done it a couple of times, but it's been really enjoyable, guys, and thank you for doing it. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I just, I've looked for your name several times today and hoping you would chime in, and every time I looked, I didn't see it. So now you're here, and hey, I'm glad to see you. That is one strange thing about Mumble/Murmur that I will say is the names are not in alphabetical order, so it's not always easy to tell if someone you're looking for is in there.
I believe they're in alphabetical order with preference to the capitalization. You know, capital first letters come first.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, they look alphabetized to me.
Yeah, even using capitals, little A, big A. You're reading it wrong, Pokey.
I'm a little dyslexic, Peter. I read everything wrong.
Yeah.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah, fair dinkum. Unix Clubhouse is at the bottom where he belongs. That's the only important thing.
Ouch. You know, you've got to watch saying fair dinkum. That'll get you arrested on a plane.
On an airplane, it bloody will, won't it?
Like yeah, it will.
Or whatever. That was funny.
Because of the exploding iPhone?
No, that's how Bird got arrested. It was some lady, wasn't it? Reggie? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was. He said fair dinkum. Yeah. It's just, it's
American Navy.
We don't have that kind of sense of humor over here that they do in Australia.
Yeah, I guess the lady thought she was being sexually harassed and had the dude arrested.
No. I think a bird got arrested, didn't it? Wasn't it the bird that got arrested?
No, it was a human.
Oh, yeah, okay. What was it? I don't know, I'm really confused
Sorry,
right now.
I wasn't speaking Australian.
Was it a bird? Was it a plane?
No, it's a Sheila. The bloody Sheila said it, and she got arrested.
But I don't understand why. I don't get it.
You know her name.
Somebody, Klaatu, somebody on a plane asked a question of somebody else. The person responding must have said the answer, and the person said fair dinkum, and whoever heard that had never heard the expression and thought they were being sexually harassed. I think that's how it went.
I don't understand how you get sexual harassment from the term fair dinkum. Am I missing a pun?
No. Well, it sounds like dink a little bit is my closest guess. I honestly don't know what the world has come to these days, but considering that it has come to it, fair dinkum is sexual harassment.
I feel a little harassed every time Peter 64 talks.
Exactly. I love being harassed by Peter.
I can't find the story, but
so you're telling us that Peter 64
exactly
has been sexually harassing us all these years?
On a good day, yes.
He tries, at least.
There you go. I posted it. So everybody.
How did you find it? Good one.
Google. Something called Google.
I didn't
I shudder to think what Fortnite actually means.
Dear God, that could be terrible. We could all be arrested.
I can tell you why. Tony, our mate Tony Kim, who sends us a bit of feedback at Colonel Panic all the time, told me where Fortnite comes from. Now, do you just want to know? I've always wondered this myself, but
we do now.
It had something to do with, I don't think it was the Chinese-Mongolian border, but it had something to do with some border where there was a big wall, and once every 2 weeks, the soldiers got to spend the night in one of the castle towers on the fort. So that was a fortnight. You know, they were allowed to sleep inside and have a hot meal and a fire or something. So there you go. That's where the saying fortnight comes from.
Oh, right on.
When I was first married, my wife used to let me have a fortnight.
Atta boy.
Boom, boom.
I
miss those nights.
Peter, in the same kind of vein, I heard just yesterday where Cup of Joe came from.
I've heard the term Cup of Joe. It's an eating place or something, isn't it?
It's a cup of coffee.
There we go with the coffee again.
It's my bloody boat again. Go on, Pokey. Where does it come from?
So I guess apparently in the Britain, a cuppa is an expression that they'll use for a cup of tea. But during World War II, when American troops were stationed in the Britain, they, in their rations, didn't have tea. They had coffee. And the British GIs were just called GIs. But the American GIs were referred to as GI Joe. So the British GIs had a cuppa, and the American GIs, GI Joes, had a cup of Joe.
You mean the Limeys?
Yeah, those guys.
Gotcha.
What are they, the Palms, Peter? Is that what they are? Oh, there goes the server again. All of a sudden, we're going to blast on top of one another. It'll be in about 2 minutes from now.
How come it's always only when Cobra 2 is around?
There's no delay here, except for my trying to come up with a punchline. Damn it.
Actually, yeah, maybe it's not the server. Maybe it's just someone forgot to answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think maybe this time it isn't the server. We're just all expecting it to be.
He needs a lead-in. Ba-dum-bop.
I don't get it. So what topics haven't we covered today that need yet to be covered?
Well, I don't know, but I think we're 5 minutes out.
Hopefully. I never got a request.
You never posted the link, did you?
I did.
Yeah, where? Yeah, post it.
Where's the link? I don't see it.
There's Pipe Man Music, and then it's surrounded by open brackets, and then it says a link in the Oddcast Planet channel.
Oh, sorry, I saw it. Me too, yeah. I probably saw the word Docs Google and ignored it. Sorry.
How about the Eric Clapton song?
Sure.
Done.
Awesome.
Play it, though.
You said you could do this on a moment's notice.
You play guitar?
I never have.
Don't criticize. I don't still remember the intro.
Which Eric Clapton song did you just request, Unix?
I think there's only one on the list.
That's the same one I requested the other day.
From someone someone else. too loud. You just gotta tell me. I'll turn it down.
I did.
Hey, well, Pokey. Hey, so Pokey. Hey, Pokey. It was Lay Down Sally, and it was awesome.
Lay Down Sally's not on there, is it?
Yeah, yeah. The ones down there at the I sort of know.
Yeah, well, I only sort of know them.
Hey, I
our clock. You can't pick those ones.
It was close enough. That was good.
Our clock on the East Coast just ticked over to the new year. It's officially 2012, and I have a song too. This is amazing what you guys pulled together today. How come when Klaatu does my jokes, they're hilarious, and when I do his, they suck?
What was my joke?
That was your song, man.
Oh, that wasn't a joke. That was a song.
Yeah, right, but people should have known that it was a reverent song. People should have been talking through it, I thought.
I think it was just too beautiful.
It was
not. Oh, I just took it as a break to read the chat room and say
yeah,
Happy
exactly.
New Year to people.
Yeah.
I was jumping around to different channels saying Happy New Year.
Oh, cool. Hey. Cool. All right, great. That's awesome. No, I was stuck with my finger on the buttons so that the computer would stream it.
See, the J-Man reckons 2012 is going to be the year of the Linux desktop.
And the end of the world.
No, no.
Coincidence?
I do have something. I do have something to ask, okay? Everybody look at what's in front of them, their computer, and tell me, are you running Windows, Linux, or Mac?
Linux.
Reg?
Linux.
Wow.
Let's hear it.
Yeah,
who else?
Peter.
Zeus, baby? No.
Yeah.
Arch and awesome.
Flash top.
Of course. Yes, flash top.
All right. So I hereby officially dub 2012 or 2011 as it was the year of the Linux desktop.
There you go.
I did the official survey. It has been decided.
So we can move on?
Yeah, we did it.
Nice.
Congratulations, everyone.
Well done, Linux.
Everyone on this podcast was surveyed.
Fedora.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Linux.
Yeah, what? You know, we never even asked that. I really wanted to. What is everybody
give
running?
Give Peter 30 minutes so he can have Windows up and running.
24. I've got a damn thing.
Ouch.
Well, you scraped 6 minutes off of it. You beast, you.
20. Yeah.
He's getting good at this.
I did manage to this year put together a couple machines for my kids for Christmas. I ordered some bare bones kits and I was able to assemble them and have them up and running with all their users set up and all that and all the updates run in less than an hour each. So
nice.
From a pile of parts.
Yeah, I must admit, I've done a few Arch installs of late and it really, if you've got a fast internet connection, you can get Arch up and running pretty bloody quick. As long as you've got the J-Man handy just to ask questions when you stuff up.
He is the key, isn't he?
No, it's funny. With Arch installs, at first you have to follow the bloody wiki, you know, step by step. And then you get confident enough to not follow the wiki, and that's when you really stuff up, and then you have to ask the J-man, and then you actually get to a stage where you can set it up and not look at the wiki and not make any mistakes. And I finally got to that stage after about 5 years.
Hey, Pete, I got a trick that'll shorten your Arch installs where you take your packages on a machine that you've already got Arch running on, and you just mount that over NFS and use that as your package source, and then you don't have to bother with dealing with the internet. You just download from what you already got.
That's probably a good idea, Cobra. I swap my configuration files around, but I've never really looked at doing that with the packages, which is probably a smart thing to do, eh?
There is a site where one of the developers has a daily image of Arch. So you don't get that 2010 of May, whatever, and you got to update the database, and you know the deal. But they have a daily image where it's like, I don't know the link, so don't ask about it. But if you just look it up, it's one developer has created a link where, you know.
Yeah, I must admit, it's not anywhere near as bad. Like, usual blokes will laugh, but I upgraded to 8 meg internet, you know, download, and it's bloody hell what quicker than the old one. So doing Arch installations doesn't take really any time at all anymore.
All right, guys, I think I'm going to go see what my wife's doing, and I think I'm done for the night. So Happy New Year to everyone. I'll be back down before I go to bed to shut everything off, but feel free to keep talking as long as you want.
Thanks a lot, Pipe Man, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Great music.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. You were instrumental in pulling this together for us. Thank you so much.
No worries. See you next year.
Lay Down Sally was awesome.
Yeah. See you, Pipe Man. Look, Double N Dan just joined us.
Holy cow, Double N Dan, at the first Double N Dan sighting of the new year?
I've been off in, off and on throughout the day. And for the past couple hours, every time I pop in, it's just Reg Exorcist. So I thought he took over the whole show.
He's Dan.
Oh, I'm you to Clubhouse. Sorry.
Dan, you have been oddly timed then, because he's been like uncharacteristically silent. So you, I don't know what you were looking at.
I saw that they were inviting him in as Reg Exorcist. I saw him, and then he was talking about going on about taking over stuff and doing his own show, and then Klaatu invited him on the Hacker Public Radio to do episodes for that, and then he said he wouldn't do anything for that trash. I don't know what it was going on about.
BSD, man.
Yeah.
I swear to you, we've had to drag all of that out of him.
Wow. Well, see, that's it. I lucked out. I got to hear it. The most important stuff of the night.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, except for when Thistleweb touched him off, we really had to, like, coax him to talk.
Thistleweb's awesome.
Thistleweb is awesome, but he touched you off pretty bad.
Well, he kind of, I don't know, some of the things he was saying I didn't really feel were very accurate about the whole Unix issue. I didn't, kind of got to me too, to be honest.
Best part was he apologized. He was lit.
No,
how
I mean,
much
I
did he had to drink
I understand
at that point?
A lot, and I understand that. I mean, this is, like someone said earlier, these aren't arguments. It's just a podcast. We all are friends. It's just point and counterpoint.
Totally.
Happy day after New Year's, Peter 64.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Is it 2010 in Australia?
Dan. Dan in Australia? Yeah. It was 2012 an hour ago.
2012. Did you have to mow lawn today?
Yeah, I did. I was just going to say, unfortunately, today was just about like every other day. I had to get up and go to work at bloody 5 o'clock this morning.
Hey, Peter, in Australia, does 2012 mark the year that the world begins? This is a big deal for you guys, right?
Yeah, it is. I've been waiting for that one. Dan, I thought you'd come out and say that one. Disappointed.
I know, you should be. That means you're happy, right?
Exactly. You know it.
Peter, not that I can remember it, but we had a damn good Australia joke from the chat room way early on. Hey, and Strisk, Meet Me conference bridge piped into here. I'm not certain that anybody used it, but it was there and we published it, and it was working because you and I tested it out. And I was actually sad. I was trying to get people in there all day.
I was in and of it all day, so I knew it was working.
Is that why it was echoing?
I don't think so. Was it echoing?
No, every once in a while it did. Only when somebody said the word echo.
How dare you, sir? Well,
no, literally.
Our connection.
I called into it a couple times when I was out of the room.
Cool. How did it work there?
The sound was a little fuzzy sometimes, but other than that, it was just like this.
Sweet. Yeah, literally, Dan.
Yeah, it's got to remember, it's all that tilt surplus hardware.
Yeah, we deal in the generic.
Hey, from 1999.
We'll take Tilt's leftover stuff any day. They put together one of the best podcasts that exists.
Ain't that the truth?
Only one problem with it. It's getting too short these days.
That's why you got to listen to Linux in the House and then the new upcoming show in a couple of weeks.
What's the new one?
I can't reveal that yet, Peter, but it is almost ready to go.
Whose show is this?
It's a collaborative effort between myself and certain people in Hack Public Radio.
Dan, by the time this show publishes, it's going to be old news, so you might as well say it.
Yeah, come on, Dan.
But if I say it now, then everybody else is going to know.
Only the people who helped out today. Don't we deserve to know? Didn't
just
we earn
us.
It?
You deserve nothing. All right, it's a show called Linux in the Shell. And I think maybe I mentioned this before, didn't I?
Not that I recall.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
I've been thinking of a way, because I'd like to do a kind of a beginning tutorial type podcast. I always thought about that for a long time. Chess Griffin did Linux Reality. But what I thought about doing was taking one command. I talked about this with you, Pokey.
I didn't say that you didn't. I only
That's
let
right.
everyone else answer.
Yeah, what is going to be is Ken Fallon hooked me up with some space on HPR web server, and what I'm going to do is about every 2 weeks, I'm going to cover one command in particular, and I'm going to do an audio portion of that. It's going to be a write-up.
I hope the first one is not to hit the mute button while you're talking, Dan.
I didn't hit the mute button, so if it cut out, it wasn't me, because I heard it go ding, so that wasn't me that cut out.
Oh, okay.
It's going to have a write-up on the website. It's going to have an audio component to be released on Hacker Public Radio, and it's going to have a video component that shows the examples of it, of using it, how to use it. And it's all going to be up there, and I figured I'm going to go whole hog on this. I'm going to plaster it across Facebook, Twitter, Identica, Google+, and just go crazy with it to see how well it does. Well, it's going to come out about bi-weekly.
Z-shell commands, right?
What's that?
Z-shell commands, right?
You know, I don't know. Maybe I'll get into Z-shell one day. But I really, you know, because I do a lot of stuff in the terminal all the time. So I figured, you know, a nice way to give back is show these commands. There's another one that does kind of something similar where they do that terminal recording application.
Dan, is there a DA shell?
A what shell?
A DA shell, like Linux in DA shell.
There is Dash, yeah.
No, it's just Linux in the shell. It's not the shell. It's the shell. I didn't want to go for that duh. It's the. But
yeah, because then you get all that corporate sponsorship from the DA shell. Yeah. Thanks, Batsy.
But I hope to have the first episode out within the next week or two. But I just got the website up and got to get that thing going. And I got to get Paige making me pictures, artwork.
Doesn't she need a drawing tablet for that?
She already has one, which we'll hopefully be doing a show tomorrow about that.
Very cool.
I was just going to ask you about that, Dan. Is there any place we can look at some of the artwork she's been doing? Have you put that on Linux in the House website yet?
It will be. When she's done with it, it will be up there.
Very cool.
We got to put out the next episode, which we're hopefully recording and putting out tomorrow.
Sounds like there's going to be a few good new shows on HPR. Because are we allowed to talk about Monster B's new gaming show, Clartoo?
I mean, he's not here to stop us, so I say yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he wanted to object to it, he'd have to be here. So that should be another good, interesting series coming out on HBO.
Yeah, I mean, I look forward to that. I think Monster B.
I invited him on. I honestly did. Can you say that again, Peter?
I think Clark, too, was just about to say that if anyone was going to do a gaming show, I think Monster B would be a really good host to host it.
Yeah, I've really missed B's voice on in the podcasting world, so I'm really happy that he's going to be doing something, and it might as well be on gaming, because, I mean, he does play them, and
he's passionate
I love
about
to,
it. Yeah,
yeah, sure. And I love to hear about gaming, even though I don't play them. I love listening to stuff about them, because it intrigues me.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I want to back that up, too, that it's been far too long that we haven't heard Monster B.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, for sure. Monster B, definitely. But yeah, that's a weird thing, Claude, too, because I thought I was the only one that I find games really, really interesting, but I really can't be bothered anymore. I can't find the time to play them and get good at them. And yeah, but they're wicked interesting.
Peggy, were you ever a gamer before?
I'd say I was a fairly, I don't know if I would say avid, but I certainly used it to distract myself from getting anything real done back in the console days. I never really got into it on the computer because I never could afford a good computer or a good video card. And as I understand it, you need both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to love playing games, like especially when I lived up in Canberra. I had a few mates who were into like games like Total Annihilation and StarCraft. Any of the real-time strategies that you could play multiplayer over the internet. And we used to kick them off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd still be going at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then all of a sudden you sort of wake up one morning, I don't know if it just means you're getting old, and they hold no interest to me anymore, which is funny.
Yeah, if you ever take a serious look at the time you spend gaming and you know, put that in one hand and put the output in the other hand, one of those two seems very light and one of them seems very heavy. So from that logical standpoint, it kind of weighs out that way. But there's definitely some merit to gaming in that it's a stress relief and it's a way to connect with your people.
Yeah, and the same thing can be said of, well, reading books and watching movies and listening to music. I mean, people are very into those activities as well, but they're not terribly productive in the traditional sense. So, I think maybe a certain type of person starts to lean toward exploring other things, but some people just still like games. Well, you know, they just keep playing them forever, as far as I can tell.
Now, see, yeah. Clad, too, I would disagree with you on that. I would disagree with you because
I would too.
I love games, I love movies, and I love to read. And I would say, first and foremost, I always usually get something productive out of a book, no matter what book I'm reading. I never came away from reading a book saying, man, why did I waste my time on that? Movie, sometimes I can get really thought, you know, good thought-provoking stuff out of a movie. But
Dan,
by and large,
you never read Rascal, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, but I did say traditionally, in the traditional sense of productivity. I believe I said that. I meant to say that. I don't mean that they're not productive. I just mean, like, if you're literally looking for something that you created as a result of those activities, chances are you will not find something tangible. That's all I meant.
You said okay. Non-productive. That means like drinking coffee or something.
I'm not going to fall for that trap this time, Unix Red
House. Trolling.
Well, that's one thing about RC Helis, Clark, too. That's deconstructive, or especially the way I fly them.
They're explosive.
Oh, man, yeah. Peter, I was going to say that if you didn't.
Yeah.
But I will say, playing video games, because I played a hell of a lot of video games in the past couple of weeks, and I'm getting to that point of saying I need to stop now because it's just sucking my life away, and you don't have much to show for it except for a headache, blurry eyes, but a good time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and you're appreciating someone's art. I mean, video games are unquestionably, at least in my mind, a really complex and fantastic form of art. So, I mean, it's really cool.
What about the precious time you could spend with your daughter, Dan, instead of playing that PS3?
Yeah, what about that, Dan?
Although we have discussed this before.
She has precious time watching me play. What more
can
you ask
for?
She was
saying last time.
This is how it's changed in the household. She's been playing Zelda all night long. So I have to go to bed early so I can get up before she does so I can play.
That's so funny.
That's great. Is she awake now? Can she say hi to us?
She is. I don't know what she's doing.
Probably playing and if not, Zelda still.
What's that?
I said if she's not awake, you wake her.
No, she's awake. She's in the other room. I don't know. We just watched the ball drop and everything. And
Hey, Peter, you asked if I used to be an avid gamer.
Yep.
A lot. I used to play Gran Turismo on the PlayStation and Gran Turismo 2 and 3 on the PlayStation 2, I guess. And, man, that game sucked up so much of my life, that racing game. And as much time as I spent playing Gran Turismo, I probably spent equal that amount of time hacking the original Gran Turismo. You could get a device that plugged in, a Game Shark, I think it was called. You could plug it into the back of your PlayStation 1 if you had the specific early models of the PlayStation 1. And if you hit the button, it dumped you into a hexadecimal, and you could change the hex code of the game. And it was tens of thousands of lines of code there, and my buddy said, no, go to this code, go to this screen and hit the button and go to this code and you can adjust the stuff that's on your car. And that's all he told me. He gave me the one address, and I figured out that the next, I think it was probably 16 lines, were all code about the car that you have. And I still have them. I have notebooks, like 3-ring binders, full of pages on every car you could get in that game. And all the different mods, all the different codes that you could put in all the different slots and see what the results are. And I'd say I spent more time hacking that hex code than I ever spent playing the game. And both were equally as fun to me.
That's really cool. Although you can believe it's probably safe to throw those notebooks away, just FYI.
F you.
But that is really, really
but
neat.
That's the thing that got you into it too, Dan, wasn't it? That you sort of started off programming your own games and stuff like that.
Yes, sir. My old man would not let me buy video games.
So you wrote your own games?
I had to.
Like from scratch or out of a magazine, like I hear people talk about?
I did both. I wrote. I started with writing them out of, doing them out of magazines, and I tried writing my own for. I mean, this is back in the TI-99/4A. I wrote my own games, and I used a couple of them that I wrote for like science projects. And then I got old enough to be able to go buy my own games, and that kind of put the kibosh on that.
What kind of games did you write?
They were really simple games. You know, stuff like Chicken, but it was more of like superheroes involved and having to run across different places. There was one that I wrote where it was more of a, you had to answer questions to progress through that was a science project. I forget what it was. I think it was about bicycle safety, I think it was. And text and stuff about bicycle video, bicycle safety, and the need for bicycle zones on the side of the road. And then when it was all done, you had to go through a little quiz game where you were Captain America and you had to fight off all these bad guys. I don't know why. It made absolutely no sense. It was like Captain America came in and he was like, hi, kids. It was a bank robbery going on and he threw a shield at the bad guys and knocked them out and got the money. And he said, hi, kids. I'm here to teach you about bicycle safety. And then you had to progress through like a couple of different stages and answer questions about the project.
That is awesome.
Yeah, gosh. And, I mean, the graphics were like, except for Captain America, I did for TI-99/4A, it was pretty cool. But some of the graphics I came up with for the bad guys are just like unrecognizable blobs.
There's no chance of getting like a YouTube video of this or a screen cap in an emulator, is there?
Oh, my goodness. This was on, what I did for this was saved on cassette tape and is long gone. I said, it's only TI-99. I still have the 99/4A over here in the room, but whether it works or not, I don't know. And I don't think I could ever find that program again.
I'm genuinely sad that that's gone. That sounds so cool.
What did the TR series run? Like, what was that, like a DOS machine or
no,
or
it was,
something?
It was its own language, but it was It had BASIC, and you can get extended BASIC.
Okay.
So... It was just really simple, basic language. It worked pretty well. It had a limitation of you can only have 16 sprites on the screen at a time, so you were very limited on types of different things you could do in the games with sprites. Yeah. I did that. I used to make animated Christmas cards and stuff where I'd break out my trombone music and transcribe it into whatever the was call sound is what was the command in the extended basic. So you'd sit there and transcribe the entire music into the language that it would use on in the basic, and that was fun.
That is so bitchin', Dan. I never knew any of that about you. That's really awesome. All right, how about all these other guys in the room? That's one thing we never talked about all day today, is some hacks that people have done. And has anybody else done some like hacks that they've never talked about?
You know, I'll throw in one more. This was like more of a hack than anything. But in the TI, Steve Jackson had a series of text adventure games. There's like Treasure Island, Adventure was one of them, Ghost Town. There's a bunch of them. They were text adventure, like Infocom, but before Infocom. And they would only accept two commands, like go north, take lamp, and stuff like that. Did you ever hear of those games?
No, but I can take your word.
What I found is if I got stuck in one of the games, there was 13 of them. If I got stuck in one of the games, if I loaded a save game from a different game, into
a different Steve Jackson game?
Yeah, a different Steve Jackson game. It would mess the game up where it would take your like existing game from Adventure and you load it into Ghost Town or whatever it was, the Wild West one. It would mess it up enough that you could find different things in there and learn about, you know, stuff that you needed to get or what you needed to do and places you needed, you know, how to get to certain places by doing that. So
right on.
Yeah. It like took. Like, if you had a sword in one game, you'd end up having a stick of dynamite in the other. And you'd learn, oh, well, I got to do something. I got to find a stick of dynamite to get over to this other part of the area. So it helped out in some cases.
But you didn't, like, endless nights going back and forth trying the different stuff between the one and the other.
I spent a goodly amount of time on some of those doing that.
Did you keep a notebook that Klaatu's going to tell you to throw away?
Actually, I did take notes on different things. Drawing little maps. I doubt it. It's possible they could be in one of my boxes of stuff over here, but probably not.
See, not everyone's a pack rat, Pokey.
I got that notebook. It's in a box with my Super Nintendo because I just I just love that thing because I love Metroid.
Yeah, and
my
cool.
And my wife's Atari 2600, and all of it works. And I still have my PlayStation and the Game Genie in there. So if I ever came around to buying a television again, I could use that notebook.
I have to say, yeah, that's really cool. I didn't know you had all the gear.
Yeah, it's all kind of sitting in a box. I mean, as long as moisture hasn't gotten to it, then yeah, I still have it. If it has, then I have what looks like the gear.
As long as it dries out before you turn it on, moisture doesn't really hurt it. Well, except rust, maybe.
Yeah, right.
I still have all like the old letters I got from my ex-girlfriends in a box.
Oh, crap, don't tell your wife that.
No, she knows. She asked me why I keep them around.
What'd I have you tell
no
her?
Idea. I have no idea. I thought I'd keep them around for historical reasons, you know, because you always find, like, somewhere down the line somebody got famous and they, wanted like, little bits of their history. But then I realize now that that's not me. That's them.
Dan, those people are usually guys who went off to war and were heroes or who published video games they made on the TI-99.
So I kept the wrong part, damn it.
Wow, that's really cool, man. Has anybody else got any hacks they want to brag about or would entertain us with? All right, then I'm going to give you my sucky one. I have been doing this whole show with a wireless headset that I kind of made myself. I took an FM transmitter, and I've got it plugged into my sound card's output, and I'm using my Sansa clip. On an FM station tuned to the transmitter. So I've been doing this all like wirelessly, and I stepped out of the room a couple of times throughout the day, but pretty much I never stopped listening to the conversation, so I could fake it pretty good.
That is amazing. That is really cool.
And I could go into depth on how badly hacked that FM transmitter is, because that FM transmitter doesn't work for shit if you buy it, you know, right from the store. You've got to open it up and do soldering and make antennas for it and stuff.
That is pretty freaking awesome, man.
Why, thank you. It died on me once. The battery died, because it's only about an 11-hour battery, and we've been on a lot longer than that. So I had to plug it in and charge it up at one point using my regular headphones. But yeah, it's been wireless all day. I've been able to go around my house, you know, from here to probably 20, 25 feet away on a different floor.
What made you decide to try a big 12-hour show on that? I mean, like, I would just be too scared that it wouldn't work, I think, you know, to risk it.
I have a Y splitter, so if it failed, I'd just throw my headphones on.
Okay, cool.
And what really made me want to do it was the headphones, because wearing those things for 12 hours would have killed me.
Yeah, no, I believe you.
Yeah, so that was I think probably the only hack that I had used today to pull this together. Oh, other than I got an extra Sansa clip that I used to play that music on, and I had that plugged into the microphone jack on my laptop. But that didn't work a couple of times because I forgot to configure the fade in, and it wouldn't work for my short clip that I was trying to play.
It sounded good otherwise.
Yeah, it did. You just never heard the clip I wanted to play.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Dan's story about the Infocom games reminds you back in the day, college. Those were some of the most interesting games. And what we found out making copies, you know, we were talking about piracy earlier, is that you could only make a first generation copy of the floppy disk, even with the most advanced backup tools of the day, which was copy two piece. And I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember that one. So if we want to play Infocom games, we figured out that during the phase where it checked the disk, all we had to do was have a first generation copy of any one of the Infocom games. So we always carried one that was a first generation copy around, and then we could make as many generations of the rest as we wanted.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that's really good thinking.
You know, I vaguely remember that now. Now that you speak, you brought that up. I remember that when how were they able to do that to prevent you from making a copy off of a second generation?
Well, we never figured that out, but keep remembering sort of the Cold War escalation. There was copy two PC, and I think the other one was like this something utilities. There was two companies. It was copy II PC, and they were always the better ones. But you always had to keep buying the new copy because there were two companies out there, and one would outdo every time. Somebody would come out with a new copy protection for floppies. It would sort of shift. One or the other would get the upper hand. The thing is, they couldn't, by definition, they couldn't include copy protection on their own product that they couldn't copy. Otherwise, the game companies would just use what they did. So only one of us ever had to buy a copy of the Cracker program.
That's wicked funny. It took me a minute to figure out what you were saying, but it just hit me all of a sudden. That's wicked funny.
I remember some of the other schemes they used to do. Like, they used to go and you'd have to answer a question at the beginning of the game, and it would say, what's the word in the third paragraph in the manual on page 15? Or one of the games I had was they gave you this grid of numbers, and it was on like a grayish colored paper, and it was like a very weird yellow, and it was so that you couldn't photocopy it, but it would ask you, it would give you the two numbers, and it was a coordinate, so you'd have to look at like 100 going down the left and cross-reference it with like 53, and that number and where they met the coordinates where they met is what you had to enter in to play the game. And oh, that was terrible.
Dan, that reminds me of one of my favorite hacks ever.
Yeah, I remember those. It was...
Go ahead. Mine can wait. It's a whole different one.
Well, it, like Dan was saying, it was a real light red text on a white page. And then a lot... Now, back in those days, like the combat simulations, aircraft simulations, would come with a manual that was 50 pages long. And we'd all go down, one guy would get it, and we'd go down the Kinko's and make copies of the manual, because you really had to have it to play the game anyway. And a lot of them, the copy protection was third word on page 67 as well. But sometimes it cost us just nearly as much to copy the manual as what buying the game would cost. But in those days, as long as it was $1 cheaper to go to Kinko's and copy the manual, that's what we did.
Yeah, it's not even about the money at that point. It's the fact that you win. Your game became copying the game.
Yeah, I had a friend who used to download games off of the Commodore games off of BBSs all the time. And he played this one helicopter simulation. Like, he started it up so many times that he got like a group of questions that they would ask. And he went down to Toys R Us and he asked the guy if he could see the manual, because his didn't come with a manual. So he wrote down all the questions, like where to find all the answers to the questions, copied them out of the manual. and then he went back home and played his game.
Sorry, Dan, you cut off.
Well, I remember the old Leisure. I don't think we've ever let Pokey talk yet. I remember the old Leisure Suit Larry games, which were a little risque, and they would ask you a series like historical questions and things only an adult would know to make sure you were old enough to play the game.
I played that game when I was 7, and I remember putting on a condom and banging a hooker.
I remember playing that game, and my spelling wasn't good enough to ever get anywhere. And trust me, it hasn't gotten any better.
And you still haven't gotten
anywhere.
Well,
it's a good thing you put on that Pokey, it's a good thing you put on that condom, because you remember what happened if you didn't.
Yeah, you died of AIDS.
No, you didn't die of AIDS. It fell off, and then it said, well, you wouldn't want to go on anyway.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, man, that's wild. Yeah, Dan, when you said photocopying the book, that reminded me. My buddy, Bill, who's like, he's in his 60s. He's in his late 60s. And he is like, he knows nothing about computers, but he is an old school hacker. And he hacks everything he touches has his effect on it. And it's fantastic. I love going to the guy's house and just looking around, because he's touched and modified everything he's got and for decades. And one of the things he taught me is that most photocopy machines cannot see yellow highlighter. So if you have an original document and it's something you're going to be photocopying an awful lot, you take a yellow highlighter and you put a big X on it, and you can see this is the one you don't want to give out. And you make photocopies of that, and you can hand those ones out. And he learned that, taught himself that, he figured it out when he was a substitute teacher. So that was real important to him. And I've used that hack for years.
Guess that's why they put some of that stuff in yellow print on those DRM sheets or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, that's what it was all about.
I was going to say, that's exactly why. I remember red print on white paper, because it couldn't be photocopied. Everybody just typed it into a text file. I remember a couple games came with like a wheel, you know, you rolled around to one window. It had the keyword in it, and you read the response in another window. And so I remember that my friend, he had a whole chart that I think he pulled. Might have been off the internet, or somebody sent it to him. It was just like a spreadsheet, and we use that.
Yeah, I was starting to say before, that reminds me of the time that I sat down and memorized and figured out the money-making game on the original Zelda. I played that game until I figured out the pattern, and I could it was not a random thing. It was a pattern, a predetermined pattern that it went through as to which coin would give you the money. And within four or five, I forget now, but within four or five turns of playing, I would know exactly what the pattern was, and I could continue from there and just loot the thing until the rupees were full.
Yep, man, same here.
Internet high five. I want to hear some more hacks, especially these old school ones. These are wild. Who else has got anything? Nothing? None yet? All right, I'm gonna play my audio file that I couldn't play before. I was trying so bad to get this out for Ken, but it's this really it's funny, because this is something that the Linux Outlaws asked their audience for. This is way back, like when they were still in their double digits, and I emailed it to them, and they never used it, and I've never had a chance to use it. So I want to make sure that it can be had. It's for the taking. It's, you know, Creative Commons zero. I don't even want attribution. If you think this is amusing, take it and use it on your podcast. I'll email you the original, whatever.
Meanwhile, back at point.
That's all there is to it, and it was kind of faint, but I it's definitely can be played louder.
Can you play it again? I barely heard it.
Yeah, let me cue it up again. I'll try to turn it up a bit. Vamp for just a second.
Meanwhile, back at the point.
Nice.
That was other than just clipping out pieces of music in Audacity to make like ringtones, that was the first piece of audio editing I did. And it's never been used, or maybe once in a club show.
That could probably be something that you could use with a lot in what we recorded today.
Yeah, I could
edit as you edit there, that.
Sure. I don't know if I'm going to get that crazy with Joe, but sure.
Yeah, that's true. Just a lot of content here.
What is that clip from?
That was the Super Friends, how they used to do that little transition, and they'd say something silly like, "Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice," or something like that. And I just did my best impersonation of Ted Knight.
Oh, now I'm remembering.
Exactly, the Justice League of America. "Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom."
Yep.
It's classic stuff.
Yeah, and I thought the voice sounded a lot like Ted Knight, or at least it did in my head, so I tried to do a Ted Knight for it. He was the dude that was always like the turd on, was it Mary Tyler Moore or something? Somebody older than me is going to have to remember this.
Yeah, you're correct. The Mary Tyler Moore show.
Yeah, the anchor, Ted Knight, and Georgette.
Oh, so was that the character's name, not even the actor's name?
Yeah, character.
Nice. I didn't even have the reference right.
Quite too. A little bit more of that Kepler. You know how we were talking about the planet the other day?
Yeah.
In Kepler 22b, whatever. I did a bit more reading on that Kepler spacecraft. It's bloody amazing. It is constantly staring at 150,000 stars. Like, for some reason, I just thought, I'll look at a star, then it must look at another one. And obviously, that wouldn't work, because if there was a transit, it would probably miss it. But that's what it's doing. Constantly, there's 150,000 stars in its field of view that it's monitoring at every single second of the day. That's bloody amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing. Are you retracting your skepticism?
No, I'm still a little skeptical that planet actually is going to... We should know early next year when Earth-based bloody telescopes start to look at that planet. When they, for some reason, they've got to work out, well, not for some reason, they have to work out the mass of it. And once they work out the mass, they can work out what it's actually made of. But for some reason, they've got to do that with Earth-based telescopes, and they can't do it until early this year, actually. But currently, I think there's 1,090 planets, exoplanets that Kepler has, seen. And approximately 48 of them have the potential to be in the habitable zone. Okay, but they're not confirmed as yet.
Yeah.
Moment, it's only actually three that they have said. It's that Galassi one that I mentioned before. There's another one, which I can't remember the name of. And the one we discussed the other day, Kepler 22b, is the smallest so far that they have found. But obviously that, you know, every other day there'll be a smaller one and then a smaller one and a smaller one, you know, until I suppose one day they'll get down to an Earth-sized one. So that's to be expected. But yeah, it's some interesting facts on it when you look into it.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
I want to give a right on to Annoyance, who's in the room, but he's muted for some reason. He said let me see if I can find it again. He streamed this whole show to his squeeze box and then to his chumby so he could like wander around the house with the show. Is that what you're referring to, Annoyance? And what has you so annoyed?
I don't think he's annoyed. He's an annoyance. I think we're so annoyed by him.
So it didn't work.
No, it didn't. I haven't been annoyed by him not once.
He's a good guy. He was at OLF.
That wasn't Dor, was it? Was that Dor?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, Dor, how you been?
Pretty good. I just got home. I literally started the stream on one of the servers, and then I had to go celebrate an anniversary thing.
Is it the anniversary of the Earth rotating around the sun?
No, my wedding anniversary, because I'm so addicted to numbers, to make sure I wouldn't forget wedding anniversary. Here's the thing.
we got married on 010104 because 0101 is four different numbers, you know, 0101 and then four is the year.
That's great.
And she accepted that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Congratulations, Dark.
Well, because I told her to have me on a Labor Day and my other son was born on a Valentine's Day.
I'm starting to believe you now.
Yeah, and congratulations to Annoyance just said, I don't know if it came across, but yeah, he's absolutely right. Congratulations. Well, how many years?
Eight. Eight with a seven-year-old and a three. He is at the age where he laughs at everything just because.
Nice. That's so cool.
Yeah, so it seems like the stream went good. I was able to check in a couple times from my phone, and everything was sounding good.
Well, yeah, certain poor Japanese have just been hit by another bloody magnitude 7 earthquake.
Integral's going to be pissed that he didn't get his natural disaster website, his imaginary natural disaster website up.
Well, this could be the start of the end.
Have they crossed the date line yet? Are they before us or after us?
No, they're the same as us. They were in 2012 about the same time we were.
I guess it could be the end then. Good call. Or the worst call.
We'll get nervous if we lose Peter suddenly.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. But it doesn't happen until about the 24th of December, isn't it? The bloody Mayan calendar ends or some rubbish.
21st of December, right?
Is it 21st? Yeah.
12/21/2012.
I beg to differ.
You still have time to reserve your billboards.
It doesn't happen until 2036.
Is that when Apophis is going to plow into us, isn't it? That's what I'd be worried about.
No, unless I got it wrong, 2036 is the Unix clock, the 32-bit.
Yeah, I heard the C language. Yeah, exactly.
I think Del is still on. I'm pretty sure that's when Apophis is going to return as well, and that actually still has a little bit of a chance of plowing into us.
What's that now, like a comet or something?
Yeah, it's going to pass us. There was a bit of concern with it. I think it was 2024, it looked like it had a small probability of actually hitting the Earth, and now they know it's not. But depending on where it passes as it goes past the Earth, then it goes around the Sun. When it comes back in 2036, if Earth nudges it just right, it'll come back and plow into us on the way back out.
Can we send Ben Asflick to stop it?
Or have to blow it up.
Stopping it?
Yeah, well,
split half. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's 2036.
Yeah, it looks like
Delvin,
right
when you need him. Yeah,
I'm right here. Thought.
Is it the Turin scale, I think? That's the only one at the moment that's rating higher than zero on the Turin scale at the moment.
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, that's my prediction. We'll survive 2012, but I'm not going to do anything, book any flights after 2036 just yet.
Now you're going to miss all the good rates.
I tell you what, if you could think all the ways to die, I think sitting there on your veranda watching a comet come in at, 7 miles a second and plow into the Earth, that's got to be one of the better ways to go, doesn't it?
Yeah, good point. I can think of a better one.
Now, in actuality, if we get hit by a comet before the comet ever hits, you would catch on fire from the heat.
Yeah, from the airburst, yeah, as it compresses the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Still, we get to watch it for a few days.
Clancy, something just happened to your audio. It got really bad.
Well, that's okay. I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
All right, man. Are you still in Massachusetts, or are you back in at your office?
I'm back home.
Okay, so you didn't go to that bakery I told you to go to, I'm guessing.
No, I didn't get a chance. I did intend to, but my friends just kind of kept me busy.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, catch you guys later.
Thanks for everything,
Klaatu. Yeah, sorry,
Happy Klaatu. New Year, Klaatu.
You too.
Yeah, happy
Great
New
show,
Year.
Everyone. Yeah.
Take it easy, man.
Happy New Year.
Have a good one, dude. Yeah, what about the Australian
Red Belly? Hey, do you have
a
couple new shows now?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a couple new shows? I keep seeing on G+, another Android show that you talk about, and then there was that Command Line show that you kind of previewed the site for.
Yeah, I'm doing now about 5 a week. 4 are being published. The 5th one, we're stocking up shows, so we don't have to worry about doing them every week here soon.
Is that new show, Door, is that going through Podnuts or through Linux Basics?
Command Line Basics is basically its own thing.
So we'll be able to get the feed off of Linux Basics? Is that, that's what I'm getting at. Where are you going to have, is it, or is this going to be its own entity?
It is its own thing.
Looking forward to that. And the one Dan was talking about, whatever he was calling his new show, he's going to put out.
Piece of garbage in the command shell.
You guys ought to get together.
The Z-shell show, right?
Corn shell.
Someone should have one called Go to Shell.
That's not bad. Oh, all right, guys. Listen, I am about spent, and I've got to go to bed, so I would like to stop the recording now, but I cannot thank you guys here in the room and the guys who were in the room earlier and the guys who put together the tech to make this work, the people who helped in the testing room, the people in IRC who helped spot us with searches and stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable the way that everybody, that you guys pulled this together, guys and girls too. I mean, we have Becky on here too. I'm astonished at how well this turned out. Not really astonished. I'm astonished that I was part of something that turned out so well. That's I'm not used to that. And you guys really did. Everybody pulled it together so well. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you to every single one of you. And hey, Happy New Year. And just wow. Everybody in the room, a tip of glass, a round of applause. Just wow. Thank you.
Well, I
thanks,
really
Pokey. You're
to
the
guys.
One who's been doing all the work.
No, I didn't do any of the work.
Yeah,
I just
right
did
back
the
at you, man.
Yeah, thanks, Pokey. I look forward to listening to it all.
Happy New Year.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, you deserve a break, Pokey. You ought to be able to say you ought to be about ready to explode after 12 hours. You need to get up out of that chair.
Like I said, I had this wireless headset. I've been to the restroom about a dozen times. It was mostly the beer and the coffee I had. The coffee, man, that went right. But yeah, no, it's cool, man. I've been able to walk away from the computer several times, and it's been in very good hands with you guys. It's been amazing. So I want to say thank you to everybody, and I want to play the music out if you guys don't mind.
Suits me. Happy New Year.
Fantastic job, Pokey.
You guys all rock. Everyone.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Economicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.
I've been listening to podcasts at 1.4 speed. I forgot how slow that is.
Hey, oh, man. Hey, Pipe Man, are you right there? All right, well, I'm going to say it for him. Happy New Year's, everybody. Podcast out.